The scripture lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, let us all say, amen. More than 20 years ago, my wife and I served at another church, and this church, we started a church bowling league because there was a lot of bowlers that were in the church, and they had all this experience, and my wife and I were super novice. So the very first day of this bowling league that that we set up at the church, my wife and I are teamed together, and we go, and we are bowling against some of the better bowlers at our church, and I pull out the ball. And Sharon and I start to bowl. Now, can I tell you something? It was a magical experience. I don't know what got into us, but we were in the zone. My first three balls were what? Strikes. And Sharon was even doing better than I was doing. Now, we were going against seasoned bowlers, right? And they just couldn't believe it. What's going on? What's happening? By the fifth frame, the only question was, could we keep up what we started? Could we finish strong what we had begun so strong with? Well, I'm not going to show you my bowling skills today, but I am going to say that it turns out that people are really good at starting things, but we're not so good at what? Finishing them. According to a book called Finish, 92% of people don't finish the goal or the resolutions that they set for themselves. 92% are unable to finish what they start. Well, last week we started the Red Letter Challenge. It's a challenge where we're looking at the words that were spoken by who? Jesus. We're looking at them, we're examining them, we're taking them into ourselves. Because last week we also identified the problem. The problem is that too often we don't represent Christ well. People love the teaching, the example, the sacrifice, the passion of Jesus, but when those same people are asked about Jesus' followers, Christians, the response is often negative. Last week we said that we're guilty sometimes of being a cheap knockoff. And that what we want to do is be closer to the real thing. So today, I want to give us a point in talking about how we can start strong and finish strong. And the main idea, the main point I want to say is this. Our doing flows out of our being. Can you say that with me? Our doing flows out of our being. One more time. Let's get this in our minds. Our doing flows out of our being. Now, let me help you unpack that. What are some of the things that it means to be the doing of being a Christian? So they include things like this. They include things like religion, you know, following rules, good works, ministry. So those are the things that we're doing, right? We do those things. But they should flow out of our being. And our being is our relationship with Jesus Christ, our faith in God, and our worship in God. Do you get a picture of what I'm saying here? That in order for us to do these things well, religion, good works, and ministries, we have to be in relationship with Christ. We have to have faith in God, and we need to worship. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to ask you to tell me which category they fit in, the being or the doing. So the first verse is this, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Is that our doing or is that our being? being. That's right. That's our being. It's our faith. It's a relationship with God. Okay, here's another scripture. Faith without works is dead. What's that about? That's our doing, right? So on one point, it's saying, you know, that we're not saved by our own strength of our own hands. It's not anything that we've done it ourselves. It's what God has made us to be. It's whose we are, not just who we are. But the other part says that it's not enough just to have that faith and just sit in that and just do nothing about it. Faith without works is dead. So it's a relationship. It takes both. Here's the second point that I want to make. I can start strong on my own strength, but I can't finish on my own strength. I can start on my own strength, but I can't finish on my own strength. There's an elite sport in college, and it's called rowing. And I think I've got a picture of a rowing team, right? And what they do is it's a team that runs a race. In many ways, it's just like any other race. The quickest and the strongest are going to win, right? That's usually what happens. Except there's one major difference between a rowing team and a relay race team or any other kind of a race team. Usually the athletes stay focused on the finish line, right? But in rowing, it's completely the opposite. They're not looking at the finish line. As a matter of fact, they've got their back to the finish line, right? So as you're looking at this picture, the finish line is down that way. They're not looking at it at all. Who are they looking at? The coach, right? They're looking at the coach. The coach is the only one who's got his eye on the finish line. The coach is the only one who knows how close the next team is. The coach is the only one who sees the obstacles that are before them. And the coach keeps them in rhythm together. So it's not just about how strong you are. It's not just about how quick you are. But it's also about the connection that you have with your coach. Well, in a lot of ways, we as Christians are called to focus on our coach. Let me remind you again about our scripture lesson. It says this in Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to who? Jesus, the pioneer, the coach, the perfecter of our faith. I want to say this, the most important and the most productive thing that we as Christians can do is look to Jesus. The most important thing that you'll ever have the opportunity to do is to strengthen our relationship with God. Because once we strengthen that relationship with God, it gives us clarity, it gives us purpose, and it gives us endurance to be able to do the things that Jesus calls us to do. So here's a question. Okay, Pastor, you want me to look to Jesus? You want me to spend more time with Jesus? You gave me the example of those rowers that are looking right at him, but we don't have Jesus right in the boat with us. We don't have physical Jesus sitting here at church with me right now. So how do I spend time with Jesus? The author of the Red Letter Challenge that we've been looking at, he gives us a couple of suggestions straight from Scripture. I'm going to kind of go through them with you. So the first suggestion that he gives us about ways to spend time with Jesus is abide in my word, Jesus says, and that's John 8:31. So what's another way of saying that? What does it mean to abide in my word? Okay, read the scripture, okay? What's another way? Pray earnestly. Here's another way. Worship the Lord your God. We're doing that right now. This is our time of worship. And when we come to worship, let me just get our mind straight. Worship is not, I sit and I enjoy the song that the choir sang to me. Who's the choir singing to? God. And we're joining in with them. We might not physically be opening our mouths and singing the same song, but our appreciation goes up with them and we glorify God. So when they get done and we say, who does that applause go to? Goes to God. Now we appreciate God for what God has done, and Haruko and Christina and the choir, but ultimately we're worshiping God. How's another way? Come with me and rest. We talked about that in the children's moment. That could be the Sabbath. That could be a retreat. That's taking time away and spending time focused on spiritual things. How many of you have ever gone on a spiritual retreat like the Walk to Emmaus or the Great Banquet, right? Here's what happens for me when I go and sign up for something like this, and maybe it's been your experience too. I'm excited when I signed up for it, and I'm thinking this is going to be cool. And then as it gets closer to that time, you know what I start to think? I don't have time to do this. Oh my goodness. I don't have the time to spend 3 days doing what? Oh my gosh, I can't do it. And all of these excuses will come up into my mind. But then when I actually go and do it, I find that it's the most rewarding and productive time that I have. Anybody of you experienced anything like that? You can come up with a million excuses why not to go. And then once you're there, you're realizing, wait a minute, just resting, just being is so important. Can I tell you, I just came from our family reunion. I was there for since Thursday evening. And on this agenda, you know, in the past, we'd plan, okay, we're going to go to the movies. We're gonna go see this show. We're going to, you know, all of these things. But as people talked about it, they said, you know what? We just want to have time to be together. That's all we want to do. No movie. Let's just spend time being together. Let's just share the stories. Let's remember. And it's so good because the stories get passed on from generation to generation. And then that helps to inform you. This is who I am. Well, it's the same way. When we spend that time, when we go away, when we rest, we find out who we are and whose we are. And then here's the last way the author suggests that we can be with Jesus. Let us eat and celebrate. And we eat and celebrate in fellowship together. We do that a lot as a church. But what specifically are we talking about here? What sacrament is this? Communion. Communion. It's a time where we receive the grace and love of God. And we remember in a special way what Jesus has done for us. At the heart of all of these practices is spending time with Jesus. Jesus is going to ask us to do a lot of stuff for him, but before you do them, it's important for us to know why we would do them. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to tell you every step of the way, do this, okay, here's the reason why. No, but the reason why is because we are his. The reason why we're doing them is because we love him and we trust him. I think a perfect example of this balance is found in Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus is giving a parable about the end times, and he says that the Son of Man will come and divide the nations like a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he'll say to them, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. And they'll say, when, Lord? When did we see you hungry and feed you or naked and clothe you or in prison and visit you? And Jesus says, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. There have been times when the church has just settled for only being. We've created monasteries and fortresses, and we've hid ourselves away from the world just to hang out with Jesus. But we didn't let that motivate us to then go back into the world. We failed to recognize Jesus inside of the people in need. But on the flip side of that, there have been times when the church has just settled for doing, right? We go out, we feed the poor, we clothe the naked, we visit those in prison, but we've done it with hard hearts, thinking that we're better than others, doing it on our own strength, and then we get burnt out. Then we become jaded. We think that every single person who walks in and we don't know them is someone who's going to do us wrong. And all of a sudden, instead of seeing others and recognizing Jesus within them, we miss. And both of those situations happen when we don't have the balance of both being and doing. We fail to see Jesus. So here's what I want to do. I want to connect those with what it can do for us in our call. So when we abide in the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, it helps me to go out and see opportunities for me to live out God's Word. When I pray earnestly, here's what it helps me to do. It helps me to go out into the world and listen for God's call more clearly. When I worship the Lord, it helps me to be grateful for all that God has done for me, and then it makes me more generous with others. When I come and when I rest in the Lord, it fulfills me, it energizes me, and gives me strength to go out and to do God's will. And when we celebrate and eat communion, what it does for me is it reminds me of Christ's sacrifice and encourages me to sacrifice for others. So everything that we do in terms of our being is not just to sit and to simply enjoy, but we are motivated, we are inspired, we are filled with God's grace and power to go out and to do the things that God calls us to. When we do this, when we hang out with Jesus, it reminds me of the words from Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. It says this: even youth will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like what? Eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. My wife and I, we served another church that had a bowling league. And the very first night of it, my wife and I were on the same team, and we were in the zone. I bowled, and my first three bowls were strikes. My wife was doing even better than I was, and the only question by the fifth frame was, would we finish? Would we be able to keep it up? And you know what the answer is? Yes. Yes! We were not bowlers, and I bowled 180, and my wife bowled even higher than I did. Now, we were bowling with the people that had said, Pastor, oh, we need to have a church bowling league, and they bowl all the time, right? And so we're walking around after the last one, and we'd gotten higher than them, and we're high-fiving each other. Yeah! You wouldn't believe this, but I was bragging a little bit, getting a little loud. And everybody else was kind of laughing and shaking their heads and saying, Pastor, this is the first the first night of the league. And I said, so? They said, Pastor, on the first night of the league, you establish your handicap. I'm like, what does that mean? You establish your handicap. He said, the better you bowl, the lower your handicap is. I said, I don't understand. They said the handicap is the free points that you're going to get, the grace, the mercy that's going to help you out throughout the entire league. So we had bowled such a great game, thought we were so good, starting so strong on our own, we never once bowled that high again. I had no handicap, no extra help. And it's like working on my own strength. I can start strong. I can say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm just going to love that person. I'm going to do it. Oh, I can do it on my own for a moment. But if I'm not focused on the author and the perfecter of my faith, I'm not going to be able to make it across that finish line. But if I depend upon him, if I let him carry me, be my handicap, then I cannot just start strong, but finish strong. Amen.